This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesday at 3 o'clock, which means a special treat for you. You're in for one full hour of Elliot Shore Parks with us, Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot, thank you for joining us.
Please use my title when,
I'm sorry. Let me do this again.
Yeah.
Joining us for 1 hour for Tuesdays with Elliot, Eagles Insider of the Year 2025, Elliot Shore Parks.
Exactly right. So I added it to all my, like, you know, social profiles, and I was thinking I'll have to delete it, but I'll just always keep it. I'll always be the 2025 Eagles Insider of the Year. Like, if you're a Super Bowl champion, they can't take it from you. You're not the current champion.
Does that make you elite because you've won
the Eagles? I'm the only person to ever do it.
That is a good point.
I think that's elite for sure.
That is a good point.
I'm just going to tag you guys in all my scoops now, by the way.
I mean, top 30 visits. That's what we're doing with scoops now.
So this is Jack. Anything I get, like, does isn't good enough for Jack. Top 30 visits are good scoops.
Yeah, I mean, if we knew any of the players.
Well, we're supposed to be keeping track of this. So top 30 visits are a draft thing.
Yeah. So the Eagles can only have 30 players come to the NovaCare Complex.
Okay.
This is worth mentioning, scoop aside. If you look at who they draft, they always draft somebody they bring on the top 30.
Yes.
And those players
Andre Dillard.
Yeah, well, and look how that worked out. And I think that was a learning point for them. If you look since then, they brought Jalen Carter in. They brought Jordan Davis in. They brought Nolan Smith in. Even their mid-round picks are guys they bring in. So if you can get who the 30 players are that went to the NovaCare, you have a very good idea of who the future Eagles are going to be.
The interest basically indicates that the interest is serious enough that they want to bring them in so they can at least
talk to them.
Put the face to them, talk to them, and everything.
And the other thing I would just say is, you also see them bring in a lot of guys like a Kenyon Green from Houston that they had in on a top 30 visit prior.
Okay. So you have reported that guys have been in so far?
The Eagles used one of their top 30 visits on Boston College edge rusher Donovan, I'm learning how to pronounce the name, Ezezuka.
You don't get credit until you say the name right.
It's a tough name to pronounce.
Donovan here.
Ezaraku. Ezaraku.
Ezaraku.
Is how you pronounce it. Phonetic.
That's a better scoop than the guy that's getting Stoutland's coffee.
You keep insulting
that seriously.
Guy.
He's a member of the coaching staff.
You should insult Elliot, not the guy.
Assistant offensive line coach.
Yeah, well, but he still gets credit for it, just not as much credit.
Yeah, not as much as anything Tim.
I'm going to start a doc, Jack, that you'll never open up where we should put in everybody's scoops so we keep track of them for the year.
Well, I'll just tag you on all of them. So.
Well, we still need to keep track of
them.
Yes. Okay, so Elliot, you basically gave us our topic topic for today.
What else is new?
All right. Get him out of here.
I thought Elliot Week was in August.
It is in August. We don't need to start it now. Yeah. So you asked that you first, before we get to the heart of the question, I have another question before that. You said, been thinking about this for a few days and curious what you all think. Yeah. Which player in Philly sports history do you most associate with winning and losing? So most of the answers were for losing, at least. It was the one constant I saw was the losing.
Yeah.
Was Donovan McNabb and Joel Embiid, which I think is absurd because they both won mostly while they were here. What inspired the question? And is there anything else you took from the responses aside from all of the Donovan and Embiid responses?
I mean, I guess the one thing I took from the responses was a lot of people said Jalen, and I do think there's an interesting discussion to be had him.
Jalen
Hurts for who they thinks of for winners.
Winners.
But the one player in Philly sports history?
So here's what I would say, and I'm the king of recency bias, but there is obvious recency bias there.
Yes.
I do think Jalen is known as a winner. I think even if outside the city, if you ask whoever, Dan Orlovsky, like whatever national person you want to trust that day, like they would probably say Jalen's best skill is winning.
Yeah.
Now we could debate if that is a skill.
That's
whatever.
What he knows.
But
that's
in terms
what
of being
elite winner, yeah.
Associated for winning.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my name. Like the two I thought of that I think of when I think of winning in Philadelphia were Jalen Hurts and Jimmy Rollins.
And Jimmy Rollins over...
Why Jimmy over Chase and Ryan?
So yeah. I picked Jimmy. You can make an argument for any of them. Boy, he was the one that came out and said, we're the team to beat. And I think that was the, like, we are winning now. So that would be the difference. I think Ryan Howard was the best player, in my opinion, on those teams. Mm-hmm. But I think Jimmy is who I associate as, like, the personality of the team and, like, the winner on the team.
Yeah.
And then with Jalen, it is a short span for sure, but...
Well, it's still 5 years and two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like it's, you know, it's two Super Bowls, won one of them. He wins, like, all of his regular season games, it feels like. But I'll be curious, like, what other people would you put for winners? In a sick way, I had more trouble thinking of winners than losers.
Well,
yeah, especially
I guess they don't
here.
Win many times.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
exactly,
it's true,
yeah.
But... I mean, any old guys I'm not thinking of?
Well, I mean, there are plenty of old guys who won
right here.
I mean, like first of all, if you want to go to the 80s, you would immediately go to Pete Rose, immediately go to Moses Malone.
So Pete, yeah.
You know, and specifically, they were the difference between winning and losing for two teams that were already good, mm-hmm. already won a lot of games, took mm-hmm. them over the top. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them, you know, the same thing about Jalen. Jalen's only played 5 years here, but Moses played four, and Pete Rose also only played four, I think, here. And Pete Rose went to two World Series, won one of them.
And once he came here, that's when they started to win, right?
Well, they were already, those teams already won. That was when they won the World Series.
Right.
They didn't win, he came in 79, right, Jack, if I remember correctly? He came in 79,
yes.
And then they won in 80.
Yeah.
And Moses immediately, this was also a team that couldn't get over the hump, and Moses, MVP, finals MVP, world championship.
Yeah.
So I think you would put those guys. Yeah, and I think if you were to go, I would agree with you, Jimmy and Chase, I don't separate Jimmy and Chase all that much. I think everybody has their sort of thing. I think those were the... Ryan Howard, I don't think people... While Ryan Howard may have had a bigger peak, I think most people attribute Chase and Jimmy as the engines.
Even though Hamels was the NLCS MVP and World Series MVP.
Yes, yes.
I think Jimmy kind of, at least in my mind, got it all started. Like when he came out and said, we're the team to beat, in my mind, that's like when that era of Phillies baseball...
And for me, Ryan Howard was the guy in the lineup you feared.
Same. And Ryan he was my favorite one on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if otherwise, and you're going to laugh, but I think of Nick. I mean, I do think of Nick Foles.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's interesting about the question and probably why I thought about it for so many days is like, in a weird way, you have to be a winner to even be in the loser list, you know, because like a lot of the losers we think of, you don't think of them because they just like think of all the Phillies teams. Would they not make the playoffs for 12 years? Like there were a lot like Bobby Abreu, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But not a lot of people bring him up because in order to be a loser, you have to at least get to a game where it matters.
Well, it's almost an what made you ask the question?
So what made me think about it was obviously with everything that's going on with Joel, Just like how I, well, like his career is basically over. Like we can cross our fingers,
sure,
but there's
sure.
a decent chance
it's over.
Joel's career is written, right?
More likely than not, even if he plays again, his the heart of his
Correct. Nothing
career
of substance
is, over.
Is going to happen. It's
most
unlikely.
Likely. Most likely.
And I was just thinking about his career because I've been a big Joel guy. And it's funny, now that you're here, I don't know if it's intentional.
Right, did the same thing to me.
Yeah. Like
we were the biggest Joel supporters.
Right. Dude, me and Euro John used to get into about Jokic when I could understand what he was saying with his phone. Like,
yeah.
all, right?
Yeah.
But, and I defended the Sixers. And,
yep.
But I've been thinking about it since he stopped playing. And I do think he is the player in Philly sports history that I just associate the most with losing.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think on a certain level, like, I was talking about recency bias. I think that will likely fade. I don't think in 15 years we're going to say we associate Joel Embiid with losing. I do think when we look back on these things, we have a very different memory of Allen Iverson today than when we did then. And one thing that we've brought up a lot, Ryan Howard, for half of Ryan Howard's career with the Phillies, he was an albatross. His contract was an albatross. He wasn't a good player. All we could talk about is how his contract brought down the entire team,
yep.
and nobody brings it up anymore. Mm-hmm. Even Donovan, to an extent, now that Donovan it has not faded as much, I think a lot of the polarization that happens with great players here over time tends to fade.
So,
and I think, last thing, I think one of the reasons it hangs around with Donovan is Donovan didn't let it go for a while. And because part of it is Donovan's personality. It's not just that he didn't win, because Iverson didn't win either, right? And I brought up Randall Cunningham only won one playoff game. Doc lost the same NFC championship games as Donovan did.
Yeah.
Is how you handle it. And one of the mistakes I think Donovan made is that he was what he was when he was here, personality-wise. But even after he left, he held a grudge. And I think it allowed Philly people to hold that grudge against him. I guess I find it unlikely that Embiid will even be public enough to have comments about holding grudges and things like that.
I do think in 20 years, we will look at Joel differently than we do right now. But I still think it will be hard for another player to surpass him as like the one most associated with losing in Philly. So I think we will view him as a better player because right now there's so much emotion to it. But if you remove the emotion, he is arguably the best player to ever suit up for the Sixers.
Sure.
Like talent-wise, right?
Yep.
Now, that being said, he is probably not the best Sixer of all time strictly because of the losing. So the reason I don't think that will change is you bring up guys like Ryan and Iverson and Ryan Howard, like Allen Iverson, Brian Dawkins.
Randall, T.O.
Right, so the difference is those guys all played in the championship of their sport, if I'm not mistaken, right? Iverson did,
except
obviously
for
Ryan
Randall.
Howard. Yeah, Randall did.
Randall didn't.
But yeah, I won't fight Randall like it is. But
yeah.
But Joel has no signature moment. Well, and that's the tough thing, because when we look back, there won't be he did this. It will be he never got second round. But here's the real reason I think he's number one. It's the process. Like, he is associated with the process, and the process is the biggest example of losing, I mean, maybe in the history of sports, but like certainly in Philly.
Well, it's the most famous. It's certainly not the biggest.
Agreed.
Right?
But most famous, and we're talking about being associated.
Yes.
Like, his nickname is the process.
I mean, the Spurs have been tanking for 4 years now. You know what I mean?
But it's just different.
Yes. But again, I don't think that part. I think a lot of the Embiid criticism is 100% valid. I will have the same exact criticism of him. I do not think it is fair to tag him with the process.
So I do, for a couple reasons. One, he's the product of it. Like, they tanked in order to get guys like Joel. And it's his nickname. And that sounds silly, but like, if Victor Wembanyama's nickname was the Spurs lost for 4 years, like, people would associate that with him. So when you're talking about, when I think of Joel, what do I think of? The top two things I think of are never out the second round and the tanking. Like, he's the face of the tanking.
But that's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not his fault.
I mean, he did embrace the process. Like, he embraced the name.
But by the way, that was no different than what Bryce Harper does. And I, like, that was...
In what way?
It was pandering to us. It was pandering to the fans. When he started calling himself the process, it wasn't while he did like Hinkie and had a good relationship with him, it was not in support of what the Sixers did. It was him, because, by the way, I think it was a tweet from the podcast that made him do that. Mm-hmm. It was pandering to the people who cared. And that's the same thing that Bryce does.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
But the result is the result. And when you think of Joel, you think of the process. Would you agree with that?
I would think it leans more probably unfavorably to Joel with being associated with losing. Yeah. Like the one thing Donovan sort of has in his favor is that the Eagles have won two Super Bowls since.
So
remember I said this when they won the first Super Bowl in 17, that it kind of lets us off the hook for not winning one during the time that when I played here, and now they've won two, so people get less angry about those times, and you can think more fondly on those times.
If the Sixers get the first pick, and they get Cooper Flagg, and they win two titles in 5 years, I think all of this will
subsides,
fade.
It does.
For sure.
It might, but I just think with Joel, he still lacks like any real moment.
Now you're right about that.
I mean, what would the signature moment of Joel's career be? Would it be winning MVP?
Yes.
I think so, winning MVP.
I think so, right? Yeah, but if you look at these other guys, they all have moments in winning big games.
Well, he does. I mean, he had three to beat the Raptors in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's not, like, let's be real here. That's not a real great moment. It's a moment, but it's not in any way comparable to, like, Bedlam at the Bank, Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue, like, a bunch of Eagles moments. Like, it's just, so it is a nice moment, but... Of all great players,
it's a better moment than the dagger.
It's not a better moment than the dagger.
Well, I mean, it's a bigger moment.
He won the game.
Well, Jalen didn't win the game with the dagger. The dagger didn't matter. They would have won the game easy without the dagger.
It was the first round against the Raptors, and they were up, 2-0 at that point?
Well, the Eagles were up 24-0.
Right, but
it's a
bigger and better play on a bigger stage in a more meaningful moment.
It is not a more meaningful moment. The moment didn't mean anything.
It was, first of all, that's not true.
Do you know why the moment means something?
Why?
Because people like you, who want to argue that his season was better than it was, needed something to point to. So thank God he hit Devontae Smith on that, because it gives you a moment to pretend that the season where he was minimized.
I feel strange
for,
being shot.
Well, no.
But the flip side of this,
he was minimized for 12 games, and everybody is completely forgetting about it. That we're not giving credit to Saquon, nothing. The whole season, the defense, the Saquon, all erasure. Nick Sirianni, all erasure. Nobody gets credit because Jalen threw a bomb up 27-0 in the third quarter.
And it still means way, way more than Joel shot against the Raptors.
Well, but it is not a more it's part of a better game.
No, it's
but
a better,
it is not it more is, crucial right, in
think,
that in th- the
think
game's
about
outcome.
This way. How about this when we think of moments, right? Like Bedlam at the Bank is a moment. We will see Bedlam at the Bank highlights the rest of our lives.
You're right, because Bedlam at the Bank was an actual meaningful
when's
moment.
When's the last time you saw the replay of Joel hitting that shot against the Raptors?
I know, but that's not the point.
But that is the point.
It's not the point.
It is the point.
It's not the point.
To me, it is, though, because when we're talking about guys and how they're remembered, it's what you remember about them. Nobody brings up or really cares about that shot against the Raptors. You can say that Jalen's throw to Devontae wasn't important because they were up 24-0.
Well, it wasn't.
But way more people were going to remember that, and that's why he's associated as a winner and Joel's associated as a loser, because he has no true moments.
Well, he has the moment is retrospective to what happened at the end of the game.
Yes.
But you saying that play was a bigger play than the Embiid play in terms of scope of the game. Like yes, one was the Super Bowl and one was the first round, but that play didn't mean anything.
Well, look, we could go 1,000. Like, if that pass is intercepted, the Chiefs, you could go 1,000 different ways.
Intercepted again, the second interception.
Then we do the thing, right? Well, they just do it again and again.
Yes,
but it is still a much bigger moment. Like, Joel doesn't have any moments where you go like, wow, look at that. Like, he won MVP. He's a great player, but he does not have the moments that contribute to winning anything meaningful. Like, and that is why I think the history of him being viewed as a loser, I think, is going to be hard to overwrite, because he is more than likely not going to contribute to any winning meaningful basketball the rest of his career.
Okay.
It is more likely to stay attached to him unfairly.
Well,
by
I think
the way, unfairly.
But I do think fairly. Like, look, Joel is a great player. Like,
he's not a loser.
He is not a loser in the way that he is one of the best basketball players.
Right. But why is Harden labeled a loser and Embiid's not?
But
some people will say that it's unfair to label Harden a loser.
Yeah,
his own. Like,
and Harden has accomplished more than Joel has.
I think a lot more people consider Harden a loser than Embiid.
Yeah.
Well,
I look at more of the off the court stuff with Harden than anything else.
Hold on. Harden's accomplished more than Embiid has. the one team got to the conference championship for sure, but he's had way more meltdowns. And his playoff stats.
Game six against the Spurs.
Yeah, his playoff stats, like Joel's,
in Houston.
Joel's playoff stats, everybody likes to slag them 25-11 and 4. Like, it's not like he disappears.
But they're empty numbers. Like, his numbers.
They're not empty numbers because when you look at how they played with him not playing versus how they played with him playing, he's the most significant. He might be the most significant player ever to play here in terms of winning versus losing. Ever. In any sport.
But that's the issue with Joel.
Well, it's true.
No, but that's the issue with Joel, because you are correct. His plus minus numbers in the playoffs are crazy. You're correct.
They're actually, you wouldn't even believe it.
I believe you.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Like, that's kind of a loser stat. If you're going to point to the best thing Joel has in his career is his plus minus, like, then how can I look at this guy having accomplished anything serious? So, like, you
all
are right.
I know
Harden's only been to one conference finals, but he was in the conference finals. Like, Joel never made that.
Well,
he just didn't.
I know, but you're splitting hairs between Joel and James Harden right now. Like, you are. And the truth is, if Joel had the basketball version of the Eagles offensive line, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Saquon Barkley, trust me, we'd be having a different conversation.
You might be right.
Well, I'm definitely right.
But here's the only... So I used to...
Because Joel had, in terms of what was going on around him, Joel had a lot closer to what Donovan dealt with than what Jalen Hurts dealt with.
So I would agree with you on that. But here's
Embiid had a good team with Butler and all those guys. J.J. Redick. Oh, yeah, good players here.
Yes, but
three-time All-Star Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris.
In that year they got both Harris and Butler in that year. There was no real way
they
were winning a championship.
To play with them. Yeah. So, I don't fault them for that.
If they had gotten A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at the trade deadline and the Eagles didn't win a Super Bowl, we wouldn't say that Jalen had that team.
So one thing I used to firmly believe is if you put Embiid on the Nuggets the year they won the title, he would have won that title. Like, if you look at the teams they played, the Jamal Murray play that Jokic got, I used to always think that. But now that Joel's career is mostly over, right? Like, I don't know. You have to look at this guy and say, he's a great player, but he can't. Like, what big game did he come up
in? And the other thing is, we can point to, and not to slag Jalen on this one, we can point to, through the playoffs, all these big moments from other players on the team. Name one player in the playoffs who hit a big shot while Joel Embiid was on the team. Aside from Maxey last year.
So I mostly agree with you, but like Harden came up small game 6 and 7.
Yeah,
like Joel
had 240-point games.
But Harden did win them games 1 and they were both great in game 5. Was it game 4 Harden hit the shot? I think it was. So, I mean, Harden would be the best example. But you are right that Joel never got a Jamal Murray type of thing. But like, it is what it is. So if to go back to the root of the question, why is he associated, in my opinion, like as the most with losing of any Philly athlete? It's A, because he is a great player. And like I said, you have to win to be the biggest loser, if that makes sense. Like, you have to be a big enough player to be remembered. But ultimately, he's probably the greatest player I've seen that I will think about in 20 years and think about all the losing, just because that's what it's kind of been defined by.
Well, as usual, you make a statement that I can mostly agree with, backed up by reasons that make me insane. So, congratulations.
I don't know what you disagree with there, but
I just voiced everything that I disagreed with in there.
Yeah, weren't you paying attention?
No, yeah. I was that specific one. I thought you meant that last thing.
No.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. We are talking about the response to Elliot's question earlier this week. Was it yesterday? Maybe 2 days ago.
Yeah, you can see why I thought about it for a few days, though. Like, it's a very layered thing.
It is.
You're such a deep thinker.
I am.
Yes. That's why I gave you an Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yeah. Exactly right.
And
between break and scoops.
The questions were, which player in Philadelphia sports history do you most associate with winning, and which player in Philadelphia sports history do you most associate with losing? And the losing answer, there was the most consensus, it seemed like. Am I right?
It was
Embiid and McNabb.
The vast majority of them. Like,
yes.
Eric Lindros got a lot of them.
Well, Lindros is similar.
There you go.
Yeah. Lindros is similar.
Forgot now, about Lindros
did get to the finals once and did have injury issues the same way that Embiid does.
Yeah.
Did have the sort of, people expected. He was amazing, but I think the expectations of what he would be were probably unreachable. When we actually won the judgment and got him, and we expected cup after cup after cup.
The other one that was good, but he's not a player, so I don't think it qualifies. But Rich Kotite, just in terms of thinking of losing, I think that's a really good one too.
Kotite is a perfect one.
Yeah.
Kotite or Chip.
Yeah, those are the two.
And Buddy.
Yeah,
he's not thought of as a loser, but he went a playoff game? I'm trying to remember.
Not one.
The one that that was the thing I messed up. The one Randall won was not with. But
yeah, it was cool tight.
Yeah. All right.
Bringing home for Jerome.
Bringing home for Jerome is right. 2-1. Wow.
What, look at you remembering.
Yeah.
Stuff
did you
like
read that,
that
on the internet or something?
No, of course he did.
I've listened to the station for a long time.
Okay.
And believe it or not, I respect my elders. I'm like Elliot.
your calls. And then coming up next, you didn't think that Elliot could top his athletes should be able to bet on their own games take, but he had one that I heard about on Friday.
Oh, nice. I'm excited for
that. That may top it as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
And I heard that she wanna show me who she be. I'm kind of with it. Show me some more.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Do you know who this is?
Tuesdays with Elliot. No, I don't know.
You don't know who this is?
Mm-mm.
I'm really surprised by that.
Who is it?
Jello Ball.
Yeah.
Who?
LiAngelo Ball.
Jello.
Oh, yeah, I do know it. I do know it. I know it.
I was
going
to say, it's someone that's big in the NBA Twitter
world. Well, it was really 3 days that everyone...
Didn't he perform it at halftime?
Yeah, he did. Of the All-Star game. But nobody watched that.
Well, the timing of that was perfect, too, because you're right. It was like a week, and the All-Star game just happened to be right there.
Right there.
He's got another one coming.
Yeah,
LiAngelo Ball does?
Yeah. Third single release.
He got a big record contract.
Yeah.
He's the best Ball brother.
But that's not true.
Most successful?
That's not true.
Come on, man.
No, Lonzo's the...
No, Melo is already the issue $280 million.
Losing player.
Yeah, the issue with Melo is he's just chilling in Charlotte. Like,
he's definitely
up all
a loser.
Types of, yeah,
he get those max deals, man.
Hey,
shout out to LeVar Ball, man. Everybody ripped LeVar Ball.
He was right.
He's a little crazy about going about doing it. But his boys are successful.
What
he
a
was
run.
Right.
His run in that summer trying to get Lonzo drafted was unmatched.
Well, remember the shoes?
But those sneakers ruined Lonzo's career.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A little insensitive to what the situation
with the
is
foot.
Going on.
You're
talking about running and you're talking about shoes.
Come on, man. You saw the video of him lifting weights the other day.
Yeah, he's doing good. Brought him back in the public eye.
Someone needs to hire him to, like... Talk sports.
I love LeVar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's charismatic. Yeah. Like, he would be good at that.
Yeah, we could have him on the... We could have an hour. Yeah, we get Wednesdays with LeVar.
I was close to ordering some of those...
I would have, too, but they were like $500 or something like that. That's a collector's item.
Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Is it fair to label McNabb and Embiid as the face of losing in Philadelphia? 51.6% say no. 215-592-9494. Mark in Delaware. You're on WIP. What's up, Mark?
Yo, guys. Great show so far.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
So, Joel's been a big disappointment, you know? I mean, they've only made it past the, or haven't even made it past the second round. At least McNabb...
Can I ask you something? Did you think Charles Barkley was a disappointment?
Not in Philadelphia.
He wasn't in Philadelphia. So what were Charles Barkley's successes in Philadelphia?
Spike, you got me on that one.
Okay.
Did he go to the finals?
No.
Not here.
I thought he didn't with the Sixers.
No.
Okay. Suns.
Yeah.
Did he go to the conference finals?
Mm.
I have to look it up.
They were good the 1 year. What, like, was it 91 they were good? And they lost to the Bulls. I think the Bulls beat them.
And that was not in the conference finals, I don't think.
No, it wasn't in the conference finals.
No.
I think maybe it was the second round.
And then, Mark, do you think Randall was a disappointment?
No, because I actually thought that Randall was going to win the Super Bowl until he broke his ankle in the first game.
But he only won one playoff game here.
Yeah, well, I think that might have been because of the coaching with Buddy Ryan, though.
Okay. So for Randall, it was the coach's fault. And for Charles, what is the...
So Charles did go to the conference final his rookie year. He wasn't a starter.
Right,
he played 30
right.
minutes, but
okay.
They lost to the Celtics 4-1.
Oh,
according to this, the 84-85 Sixers.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
well, pro basketball references, right?
So, So, Mark, I'm just curious if Embiid is a disappointment, but Charles is not and Randall is not, like, do you think, what about T.O.?
T.O. was magical on the Eagles.
How many playoff games did T.O. win?
Spike, let me turn this around.
No, just to answer my question, then you can turn it around. How many playoff games did T.O. play in that the Eagles won?
Uh, I actually don't remember.
Zero,
unfortunately.
Not one. Not one.
I think
one.
That is...
They actually got to the Super Bowl without T.O. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I understand what you're saying, and I understand your feeling. What I'm saying is, I think the feeling is maybe a little unfair, considering how we're treating those other guys in retrospect. But go ahead. Turn it back on me.
So, how many playoff wins has Joel won?
Joel is 29-29 in the playoffs.
Wow, is he really? That's perfect.
Incidentally, Iverson is 30-41.
All right, well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I just think we are. Thank you for the call, Mark. I hear what you're saying. I feel like we're being a little unfair and a little emotional.
So I don't know if I know fully my answer to this, but like, would you say Joel's career like is more of a disappointment? Like, he obviously reached his potential, but I just don't get how you can't look back.
Here's the context, though. I agree. But also, when you go back to the beginning, most people would have guessed he wasn't even going to play.
That's true.
So to say that it was a disappointment when he came and missed the first year due to the broken foot and then got another broken foot, the fact that I think if you were to reverse engineer it, and when you say, hey, here's before, when they took Embiid, you're going to say, okay, he's going to be runner-up for MVP twice. He's going to win MVP once. He's going to have, like, as far as scoring goes, one of the greatest scorers in NBA.
Agreed.
History, believe it or not. You would have said, we're going to get all that out of Joel after taking him, and he's not even going to play the first year. And I'm also going to tell you, he's not going to play the second year because of the same broken foot as a 7-footer. Like, I understand everything that you're saying.
And I get what you're saying, because he had a Hall of Fame career. Clearly, that's not a disappointment. There's no one in the Hall of Fame that, like, you know, looks back at their career negatively. But I also think, like, and I wonder how many times in your life you've heard the phrase "didn't get out the second round." I mean,
I've said it a lot.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But just when I think about, you know, the only MVP to never be out of the second round, like, it is hard when it's just playoff success matters so much for me to. And I defended the Sixers, but ultimately I look back and like, so many times they were the favorite to win. So many times they were the one seed. They had the best player in the NBA, I would think, multiple years. Right now he wasn't always 100%, but to not have accomplished anything of note with that. Is disappointing to me. Yeah.
I do think the situation around him and his injuries contribute to it as much as he contributed. He contributed to it.
For sure.
I think.
And this is why they should hang MVP banners.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Elliot. So on Friday, Elliot introduced a take to you guys. Mm-hmm. Now, Elliot's most famous ridiculous take is that players should be able to bet on their own games.
Yes, and ahead of its time.
Did I also ask you if referees should be able to bet on them too?
I'm fine without refs. I don't want to fight that battle.
All right.
That's good.
So can you tell...
Can we suppress those people.
Can you tell the WIP listener who maybe wasn't listening on Friday, the take that you said on Friday that seemed to light everyone up?
Watching March Madness, which I think we can all agree has not been a great tournament so far.
No, disagree.
I think it would
ratings
be.
Are up.
I think it would be better for college basketball if players could play as long as they wanted. Like, there was no more years of eligibility. It was, if a player wanted to play at North Carolina for 10 years, go for it. If you want to be a 33-year-old Temple Owl, go for it. Like, I think at this point, let's stop pretending it's about athletics. And the way you know it, I'm sorry, academics. And the way you know it isn't is because you have years of eligibility. Like, we don't make kids graduate college. Like, I could keep going to college as long as I wanted, right?
So, sure. Let me ask you this. If there were 28-year-old, like, I don't know, take an NBA player who didn't leave college. Like, let's say... Let's take a really good guy who didn't leave college. Like, let's take a good guy who was in the NBA, who, let's take Kevin Durant. Uh-huh. And let's say Kevin Durant never left college and was 28-year-old Kevin Durant in college, and I'm 18, and I want to go to college and play other college players because the last thing I did was play in high school. Why would I, like, where would you get new players to college?
Why would Durant stay?
Because of all this NIL money.
But he's making way more money in the NBA.
But if essentially you're talking about making college
a minor league, essentially.
Well, no, you're talking about making it a professional league because minor leagues only make 50 grand a year.
Yes, yeah.
So essentially you're making it a competitor to the NBA.
Yes, for a small collection of players. Like, look, Kevin Durant is going to the NBA. Like, Kevin Durant,
he could play in college for unlimited money for 15 years.
Okay, but let's say that's the case. Like, let's say we agree he could make more money at Texas. And let's just say that's the case.
Right.
Then why would I want him to go to the NBA? Like should
I don't know, because you want to be judged and measured against other NBA players.
And that's a reason he could go. But in terms of financial, if there's a player in college that could make more money next season, NIL money in college, but because of years of eligibility, he has to stop playing, like, yeah, that's insane.
It's not insane.
I just think
you would get
would
so many players abusing this system, especially international players.
I don't think it'd be as many as you think. But even if it is, why do you want someone who can make a lot of money playing in college to not go make money in a pro league?
As a viewer, I don't want to watch 26, 27, 28-year-old players playing against 17-year-old kids.
So
I don't want to watch that. I want to watch grown men play against grown men. I want to watch college athletes play against college athletes. Now, with this COVID nonsense, it's already, the lines got blurred over the last 5 years. There's people been in college for 6-7 years now.
Right. And somehow we've survived.
Some of these guys.
Yeah.
But the majority of college athletics were like that. That would not be fun to watch from a competitive standpoint.
So, two things. One, I think that when you hear the idea of players staying in college, I think we think it'll end up being like a lot of really old players. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a relatively small amount of players we're talking about, because to your point, let's say there is a 28-year-old, and let's not use Durant because he's one of like the best players of all time, but a great college player, like, I don't know, Jameer Nelson, who was a good pro, but let's just use him, right? St. Joe's. Ultimately, if St. Joe's can add a freshman and like use that roster spot, the colleges will move on from these guys too. But the second part of it is this. In terms of a watchable product, imagine how cool it would be if Jameer Nelson was on St. Joe's for like 8 years, right? And like he played Villanova and those group of players 4 or 5 years in a row. And they had history. And then like he had beaten them in this. So I think it would add
to... imagining that. What's appealing about that?
Because it's real rivalries. It's the same college players going up against other college players year after year after year. It's bigger stars in college basketball. I don't think there's a lot of stars in college basketball right now. Would you agree with that? Like, it's Cooper Flagg.
Sure, I agree, yeah.
Honestly, most of the stars, I would say, are probably on the women's side at this point.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, we lost Juju last night.
I know, very unfortunate. Yeah, but maybe she'll be on the Philly WNBA team if she's to come back a year.
Yeah.
But,
well, they don't leave early.
True, yeah. But like, I think the idea of a player staying at a college and being like a true Hall of Famer at that college, like, think of how much that would mean to the people that go there, the alumni, the students. Like, I do agree there is potential for some weird parts of it, but I think mostly it would be a big positive.
Also, the potential for like young students of the opposite sex and 26-year-old athletes there as well.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like,
well, it's not like you're talking about, most of the student body is between 18 and 22 years old.
Right.
Like, having essentially what you're talking about, professional athletes, because you would do it in football too,
right,
which, by the way, makes no sense, because physically those guys could, even a guy that didn't make the, guy played 3 years in the NFL, didn't have a real NFL career, will develop physically in a way where he is playing against 18-year-olds. It's not fair.
So there's, look, I agree, if it became every player in college football, there was like an extreme example of like 28 and 18, that would, yeah, then that would maybe be a problem with this, right? But I don't think that's what it would turn into. I think it's a small group of players. And I just think at its core, why are we preventing kids that can make millions of dollars? Like, why are we kicking them out of college when they could stay and make millions of dollars instead of like guys that are great college players now but aren't going to be drafted?
Because nobody wants to see it.
I don't think that's true. I think if like someone at like Wichita State was there for 5 years, like their fans would love that.
Great.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
215-592-9494. Elliot keeps stacking bad takes like Colonial Hyundai is going to help you stack savings. Come on, man. I come up with them all the time. Stackable savings only this month at Colonial in their brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art dealership, the grand reopening. Stackable savings just this month starts with invoice pricing, which means you are going to pay the exact same thing that Colonial pays. They don't mark it up at all. Also, on top of that, that's where the stacking comes in. You're going to get additional savings up to $3,000 in Hyundai rebates and financing 0% up to 60 months. This is only this month where you can save stacks of cash this way. Over 300 brand new Hyundais in stock. Santa Fe's and Kona's and Tucson's. Invoice pricing, 3-year complimentary maintenance on every new Hyundai purchase, and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike. Jack, Elliot, and Ike.
There we go.
What up?
Great show. What up, Tasty?
By Elliot's reasoning, Spike, Lakener and Cherokee Parks are going to go in the Hall of Fame, right? Because they're going to stay at Duke for 10 years and win 7 titles, and then they go into the
If they can make more money staying at Duke, like
Lakener is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's already in the Hall of Fame. But
now imagine if they had real Hall of Famers that were there for like 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe in 10 years.
If they can make the most money doing that, go for it.
Well, the object of the college basketball game is not for the players to make the most money for the most amount of time.
But the object of college is to make sure that you go there to then make money. Like
after you leave.
Correct. But let's say your senior year of college, you had a job that paid you $300,000, right?
Okay.
But they made you leave just because. Like that's the whole reason, just because.
But they wouldn't. Because I wouldn't have a job at being a student college.
But now this is a situation some of these students are in. They're making millions of dollars in NIL money that they will not make once they are forced to leave.
The adjustment that you would have to make would have to be that the basketball team is a separate entity, that the college, that they're not students at all, and they are a pro team.
That's basically
and it's a
what
pro
they are
league.
Now.
And it's a pro league. But
that's basically
not
what
it is. But there would be separations to this that are not in, like, and by the way, the other thing it would do is take away what people enjoy about college sports.
I think that's already happening.
Well, okay, but you're just gonna accelerate that. You're just gonna have a worse NBA is what you're gonna. I'm sorry, Tasty Cake, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, Spike, I told Jack a name, but Elliot did convince me. I had two guys in mind for winners.
Okay.
And Elliot convinced me to flip when he talked about moments and everything like that, because I was going to say Jalen, but now you got the 9-73ers, right, Spike?
Yep.
And you get Doc.
Yes.
And Doc, in 7 years, takes the Sixers to 4 NBA finals in 7 years and wins a championship. That kind of defines winning, right?
I'm confused. You're saying had Doc brought them to 4 NBA titles and won one?
No, I'm saying Doc was the winner. Doc defines winning.
Oh, Dr.
I thought you were talking about Doc Rivers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Because you went from this year. Okay. Yeah.
Julius Erving, Elliot.
Yes.
Well, you were talking about the current Sixers. But yeah.
Yeah.
Trust that.
I forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah. No. I was thinking about Doc Rivers, too.
I was, too.
Yeah. We were all thinking about Doc Rivers. I'm sorry. I don't. Dr. J.
It's a good one.
Nah.
I just don't think he's remembered. Well, he is a winner. I just don't think
Dr. J?
Elliot, he's remembered. You talked about moments, right? You were talking about moments.
Yeah, he has the under the backboard thing, which is cool.
The commercial for the NBA for 25 years was the Landsberger. Was the when they wanted to promote the NBA, Dr. J in the NBA finals going underneath the basket with Mark Landsberger hanging in the air. And doing that move that nobody's ever been able to. That was the commercial for the NBA for 25 years. You had to see it.
Look, Doc's a great answer. I don't know. I mean, I'll open, like, do you guys think he's like remembered as like a winner? Not that he's a loser by any stretch, but.
That's, I remember him as a
okay.
winner.
Okay, then yeah, it's a
winner. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
By the way, I don't call him Doc. It's Dr. J.
I'll just say Dr. J is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Doc Rivers is the real Doc.
No, all right. No, well, don't. Let's not. Yeah, let's not. Tasty Cake, you got somebody who's famous with three names?
I do, but can I give you my loser?
Oh, yeah. Times? Okay.
Okay. I'll be short.
Yeah.
So to me, what started agony for me for 20 years is when they traded Charles Barkley for this guy, Jeff Hornacek, who was an all-star in Phoenix, Spike. He came here and laid down like a dog. And then he went to Utah and was an all-star again.
And he also did this weird thing where he smelled his hand in between free throws. Do you remember that?
Didn't Joel do that?
To his kids. That was a signal to say hello to his kids.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I thought Joel did that.
No, Joel picked the underwear out of his... Yeah,
and then
sniffed
it
occasionally. Yeah. Yeah. You got somebody famous with three names, Tasty Cake?
If this counts, like, does Sugar Ray Leonard count?
Yes. That's three names.
Of course, that's three names.
That's three names. That's a good one, Tasty Cake. You don't remember Embiid, like, really for 2 years.
So I only remember him doing it recently. I don't remember it being for years.
Well, we asked him about it in the one time Joel was on the Ricky. It was during COVID, and we asked him about it then.
Wow.
And that was 2020.
What did he say?
So he kept doing it. He just rambled around when we asked him about it, but he did it for a while.
I think the other thing that makes Donovan and Embiid so attached is they both have a non-serious aspect to them. Like, in the way that they're just, like,
goofy.
Yeah, like Joel wanted to be Troel for a bunch of years. He wanted to, you know, he always does a thing where he tweets about, like, oh my God, even though he's watching something else. Like, I don't think that's helped Joel.
They both have a little Dwight Howard to them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, not just goofy in a way that is like, oh, come on, man. If it's your friend, it's like, oh, another bad joke from what's his name. But those
and it's
guys
also
are
something you can do if you have two rings.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like, people love it when you're winning. Yeah.
Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, Joel Embiid is the biggest sack of crap that ever come to Philadelphia. And Elliot got
there it
right.
Is.
You know what I'm saying? He is. He got it right, man. You got these guys calling up today. I don't know what it is. They don't have no bite. They don't want to, you know, defend their argument. You know, Joel Embiid, I tell you, when you need a guy like P.J. Tucker on the floor to give you a pep talk during a playoff game, you know, you're supposed to be the star. You know, it's disheartening to me. The guy is associated with losing. That's Spike, and that's just the bottom line. I know you don't want to accept it. But you try to compare Allen Iverson's career with Joel Embiid, they're not like us. It's not the same. You understand what I'm saying to you? Joel Embiid and Allen Iverson is two different players. When AI came into this league in 96, the Sixers was horrible.
Yes. Embiid came into the league, the Sixers were awesome.
But he didn't come into the league with that's one of the best drafts ever. That draft included Kobe.
It is the best draft ever.
The Sixers were terrible for before
you think
Embiid
better than
got
LeBron
here.
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay. The Sixers
were terrible when Embiid got here.
Intentionally.
Before that they were terrible. I mean they
were meaningless. I don't know if they were terrible.
Well, they were meaningless.
Yes, they were not title contenders.
Yes. Yeah. Chuck, you're making the wrong argument here.
But no, I'm not. Hear me out, man. He only won Rookie of the Year that year, okay? They never looked back from there. 98, made the playoffs. 99, made the playoffs. 2000, made the playoffs. 2001, went to the finals. Now, you swap Joel Embiid with that 2001 team. Do they make it to the finals?
Let me tell you.
I don't think so, actually. Not.
Joel Embiid could, well, I mean, the wrong makeup of the team.
Yeah,
but the reason the team was made like that was because of Iverson, was because he wanted to shoot the ball every single time. Because I mentioned before, Iverson's got a worse playoff winning percentage than Embiid does, Chuck. He does. He had one great run here. That's he does, and Embiid doesn't. But he had one great run where he lost.
He did not have one great run.
Yes, he did.
When you look at Allen Iverson on the biggest stages of the game, he felt his presence. You felt his presence. And it was guys like Matt Hartbring. Tony Kukoc was washed up. Chris
Trevor, those guys are no Nick Batum and Buddy Hield.
Those guys would him. Yeah, but if he would have had Ben Simmons.
Oh, what would he have done with Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons was a good player when he first came.
What would he have done with Ben Simmons? I'm sure he wouldn't have gotten frustrated at all when he got him an open shot and he put his head down and dribbled into three people and then threw it back out again.
Well, he was a Robin. That's the point you're not getting. Joel was Batman. Everybody you're trying to blame, they were robbed. You know what I mean? Even Hart. When Hart, you say Hart gave up in that Boston series, but he won us two games. And he dropped 43.
Yeah, and B didn't win us any games in any series. He didn't win us any games.
He did have the Raptor shot.
He's won plenty of games. All the games they won were because of him.
Yeah.
Maxey last year against the Knicks.
Yeah.
Joel
and in that same series, Embiid scored 50. And one when they were down 2-0.
Never been the best player on the court in the second round ever.
I'm sure he
ever. Jalen Brunson last year. Jimmy Butler against Miami. You understand what I'm saying? It was Boston. It was Jason Tatum.
Jimmy
it was
Butler.
Do you think Trey Young was better in that series?
Trey Young was scary. His numbers don't really add up, but we were terrified.
Yeah, he averaged like 28-11 or something.
Yeah. But that's what Trey does. Right, are you done, Chuck?
No point with Spike. No point with you, Spike, with Joel.
Because you're boring.
You want to make this guy bigger than what he is.
No,
you
know, I make him exactly what he is.
It has nothing to do with the injuries, okay?
Oh, yes, it had nothing to do with the injuries.
The biggest games. He called down against Toronto.
What would you know about big games, little guy?
He could have been up 3-2.
Okay.
You can say little all you want.
Yeah.
You can't beat me in no athletic sport.
Oh, okay.
And I don't care
right.
what it is. So
okay.
You can say little all you want.
Okay.
I don't care about none of that. I'm 5'8".
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
No, you're
what
not.
What does that have to do with the price?
5'8" in heels.
Okay. Man, I'm right. I sat there and I slipped your hand right in front of you. But I had nothing to do with it. You're immature for breaking
okay.
up my height.
All
I'm
right.
talking about Joel Embiid.
Okay.
A little hissy right. fit when somebody ever talks about your player.
That's not true. You're the one throwing a hissy fit.
I can't believe he's still on his team.
You're the one throwing a hissy fit.
Because the Sixers won't be any
right.
good because
okay.
he sucks.
Okay.
And that's just the bottom line.
Okay. How many shows did you call today saying the same thing?
I didn't call any shows.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
I'm not calling like that anyway. Because right. I called this show because you're bringing up this ignoramus topic,
all right.
and you're trying to pit up Joel Embiid, you know, next to players like Allen Iverson and Jalen Hurts, who's won championships.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts, who's won a championship and played two of the biggest games in the NFL in the Super Bowl. And every time it's a big game, NFC Championship game or the Super
Bowl. Now, I forgot you're a Jalen guy. I forgot you're a Jalen guy. We'll delete all the tapes, Chuck.
I'm more of a Jalen guy because he shows heart.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid has no heart.
Okay.
He never had a will.
Are you
win.
Done yet, Chuck?
Okay.
We got to go to break.
I guess you can relate to that.
Because I don't have any heart. Well, I'm standing here taking punches from you at my waist.
All right.
There we go. Thank you, Elliot.
Always an entertaining call. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to. I'm not going to yell at him when he does the whole Joel sucks thing, and he's like, I don't know what to do anymore.
I think 5'8 is a perfectly great height.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when you see what 5'8 actually looks like, we know what.
Well, I'm 5'9. So.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right. Thank you, Elliot. You can get
fun times.
You can get Go Birds Daily wherever you get your podcasts every single day, Monday through Friday, be in your feed when you wake up.
Slim pickings right now with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Still got stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Coming up next, the return of Mount Rushmore, and the battle between DeCamera and Fritz heats up.
A battle.
DeCamera is not backing down.
He's excited about this.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. And your calls as well, 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.